You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm David Brancaccio. Just before 9 a.m. California time, 1 week ago, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation announced it was closing Silicon Valley Bank. At first, deposits up to $250,000 would be made available to customers. Then it was all deposits. A week later here, let's talk about whether there was something special about SVB or if this could have happened to any bank in the same way. Stephen Kelly with the Yale Program on Financial Stability joins us now. Good morning.
Great to be here.
You've looked at this closely. The run on Silicon Valley Bank 1 week ago, in your view, was much more about that one bank than it was about banking in general these days?
Yeah, I think that one bank and also that banking model, this idea of banking Silicon Valley, we've sort of seen a little bit of contagion, but to other banks that look like SVB did. This is not a run on Wall Street. This is not a run on the banking system of America. This has been a run on some California banks and some banks doing the same thing that SVB was trying. So the big banks that you see on every corner, they've actually benefited from a lot of inflows from new customers. This remains, you know, not a concern over the solvency of the system, but about these few banks and their business model.
Well, help us understand Silicon Valley Bank. I mean, obviously it had all these tech customers and lots of startups. That's in essence what makes it special.
Yeah, exactly. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I mean, we want to be diversified as a business, right? You don't want to bet the house on one thing, right? But you can imagine being a bank in Texas or Oklahoma that has a lot of oil customers. And if gas prices go down, you might be in trouble in the same way. But this is exactly the risk you run, that if that industry gets destroyed effectively for whatever reason, you know, economics or something specific to the industry, you as a bank need to find a way to be protected in that outcome. With the tech sector hurting, its banks and financiers were going to hurt too.
What do you make this First Republic story? Why would this consortium of bigger banks work together to help this one smaller bank? I mean, you admire their public spiritedness, but I mean, they're not going to be able to do that for every bank that could come along having trouble paying back depositors.
Yeah, that again goes to this story that some of this now is just a liquidity run. To the extent there's not a solvency issue here, for them to put some cash at a bank for a short amount of time with the encouragement of the government, no less, I think is less of a risk. And, you know, it almost sounds crass since we're talking about $30 billion, but this almost is a rounding error for these 11 big banks. So to the extent they can help stem any, you know, narrative contagion across the system for what is effectively the change they find in their couch cushions, it's very much in their incentive to do so.
Stephen, you keep very focused on financial stability. I'm going to ask a version of a question you're going to hear all weekend from everybody you bump into. It's going to be something like, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen told a Senate panel late this week that the banking sector, quote, remains sound. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do. Banks are they're very conditional or very binary, right? If the whole world decides that banks are bad and sparks a big enough run, no bank is going to be able to hold up by itself. But the government has demonstrated that it's standing behind the system. I think it's likely we get to the end of this thing sooner rather than later.
Stephen Kelly, Senior Research Associate at the Yale Program on Financial Stability. Thank you very much.
Great chatting.
That is all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.